Chapter 7. Getting It. I'm trying to free your mind, but I can only show you the door. You're the one who has to walk through it. Morpheus, from the movie The Matrix, Warner Brothers, 1999. Imagine this scenario as an analogy of your day. Recently, it became clear that one of the managers in the company where you work had neglected his department, and it showed in the lack of output, the number of problems, and the general chaos. Yesterday, he was fired. You feel bad the department manager lost his job, but you understand why it happened. You are a troubleshooter for your organization, and your assignment is to straighten things out. You make your way to the department, which occupies a single room in your building. You walk through a door into a large, well-lit room, one that you have been in many times before. The room is empty except for dozens of wooden boxes varying in size from 1 to 4 feet square. The closed, unlocked boxes, each with a hinged wooden lid, are scattered around the room. You begin by pushing the boxes around so they are in order, taking the time to organize them so you can work in a logical, efficient way. You've brought your toolbox, and of course, you have written technical instructions should there be questions. The repair and maintenance procedures are understandable and well thought out. Because of the previous neglect of the contents of these boxes, you knew before you came here that completing this job would require a long day. You hunker down and get to work. You open the lid of the first box and find inside a single system, a mechanical apparatus. It's made up of gears, wires, and levers, and because you are a technician trained in understanding the construction of such devices, what you see makes sense. It's a simple thing, really. It is clear to you what this device does and how it is put together. Peering into the box, examining the system, it is apparent that mechanical adjustments are necessary. You make the adjustments. In the course of your work, you notice an obsolete component. You replace it with an updated version. You always carry spares. This upgrade will make the device more efficient and reliable. Then you oil all the moving parts and finish by cleaning up the mechanism, wiping it off. You test the system to make sure it's working perfectly. It is. On the inside of the lid, you write the date and your initials, along with a brief summary of what you did, so that when someone else does maintenance work later on, they will know what you've done and when. You close the lid and move on to the next box. You go through the same process with the system within that box. One by one, you move through all the boxes, making each of the unique systems within them perfect, closing the lids afterward. It indeed takes the entire day to complete your work. Once you've finished, you take a last look around the room. The boxes are in neat rows, their lids closed, and you are confident the systems within each box are working perfectly. You know the department's output will now be very, very good because each of its systems is working flawlessly. How could it be otherwise? You also know the new department manager will be system improvement oriented, watching over things, not allowing the systems to fall back into disarray. There will be routine maintenance. As you walk out the door, you feel intensely satisfied with your work and with yourself. There it is, the work-the-system process of seeing the world as a collection of systems that are, one by one, isolated and made perfect, and once perfected, routinely managed for maintenance and upgrading. Here's the no-brainer that eludes most people. In the course of a day, and in the course of a life, each movement we make is a single step in a linear sequence of steps intended to accomplish something. Each thing we do is a component of a system. We are not balls in a pinball machine randomly bouncing around at the mercy of our surroundings. My intention in Part 1 has been to present illustrations and evidence from a variety of angles so you will see the systems of your own life on a visceral level. I'm being repetitive, hammering things home. Are you there yet? If not, be patient as I belabor the elements of the new perspective while slowly introducing the how-tos. If you don't experience the aha moment soon, it's okay. The fake it till you make it routine can get you there. The first step, make your systems visible. You know this by now. First, make the various systems consciously visible. Second, one at a time, bring them to the foreground for examination. Third, adjust them. Fourth, document them. Fifth, maintain them. By plucking individual systems out of the amorphous mass of your real-time existence, that intense, swirling fracas of sights, sounds, and events that is your life, You can examine and then precisely manipulate the workings of those systems. But first, you must see them. Reaching the point where you see the systems around you is the first and most significant step. It's a mini enlightenment. When the epiphany occurs, you will have internalized the premise that systems make up your life, and you will know that asserting control of them is management at the most fundamental level. You will view the world with new clarity, as a logical collection of individual processes. Details will be sharper and more vivid, the colors more vibrant. Moment by moment, in real time, you will proceed through your day seeing everything around you as part of a system. No more will you perceive your world as a random conglomeration of people, objects, and situations. You'll see life as a logical collection of individual processes. What seemed complex will suddenly appear elementary. With confidence in your new vision, you will change your strategy from fire killing to system improvement, because it is obvious this is the most sensible thing to do. You must stand outside of it. If you want to see where you fit in the machine that is your life, you must observe it from an external vantage point. You must stand outside of it if you are to see how you are a part of it. There is nothing shadowy in this. This is simply about seeing things more precisely. Remember, however, that this mindset is different from the mental posture most people pack around. Instead of seeing yourself as an internal component of circumstances, you are an observer from above as you watch yourself down there in the middle of it all. You see things clearly and reach down to control your every movement, almost as if you were a child manipulating a tiny action figure toy. You are the child, and the toy is your life. There is no need for me to list a 1-10-step process for making the work the system method produce results in your life. You must simply get the new perspective of seeing the systems in your life with the same clarity with which you see the rest of the physical world around you. Once that happens, the rest will be fill-in-the-blank sensibility. Again, here's how you will see your world. The day's happenings are visible as individual elements, arranged in logical sequences. It's borderline metaphysical as you hover above your world. You are the watcher, the observer of your life. Your day is spent working on your systems. These are one-time tasks as you make each system perfect, one by one. Over time, self-confidence replaces confusion. Your systems, business, personal, mechanical, hum along. You gaze down at your handiwork and feel an intense self-respect. You are proud of what you have accomplished. Considering your new mindset, you think, why couldn't I see this before? You look back on your previous life and observe that embroiled in minutiae as you were blind to the systems that lay beneath your comings and goings. You remember the day when the shroud lifted, when sequential life systems became visible and your perception of the world's workings shifted. You also remember the first inklings of the potency of systems methodology and how soon it proved itself in action. Tangible rewards came quickly. You remember that removing the shroud didn't take a whole lot of faith or hard work, just some quiet observation. Acquiring the work the system posture is a transformation. You can look forward with anticipation because the moment of shift is an intuitive leap. It will be the consummate insight, the singular event that changes everything. The day you get it is a day you will remember. My prediction is that this will happen soon, possibly before you finish this book. Maybe it grips you now. It's what you do. Now you know, and thus you will act. Consider the following points. First, it's what one does that counts. Good intentions and a positive attitude are not enough. What matters is the action one takes, right here, in the tangible world. Second, getting things right most of the time is good enough. The part that doesn't come out well is just part of the overhead, the cost of doing business, of taking risks, of external confusion, of coping with a changing world that is sometimes one step ahead of your best efforts, of being alive. As byproducts of your advancement forward, accept that less than perfect events are going to happen. 3 steps forward, 1 step back is the way it goes. Third, remember that most people don't fail by making overt mistakes. They fail because they don't take action. If you fall into this category, prepare to change your ways. Your day will never be the same. It is incredibly satisfying to have control, to have things make sense, and to determine your own destiny. And you'll become tenacious about this new direction because the improvements come fast and strong. I belabor this point because it is key. Once the Work the System methodology is internalized and applied, you will be a different person. No more feeling anxious in the morning, your head filling with encroaching worries even before you get out of bed. During the day, no more long hours spent killing fires. No more evenings spent buried in paperwork or sitting exhausted, zombie-like, in front of the TV, with no hope of relief tomorrow. Instead, at the end of the day, you look back and see that you spent your time immersed in one-time creative projects and productive conversations with staff, customers, friends, and family. You feel gratification that the past day's efforts were further incremental steps toward even more freedom and prosperity. You don't pine for the big break, because it's clear the big break is already occurring piece by piece, step by step. In control from dawn to dusk, you know you are building your destiny in a solid and honorable way. You not only made incremental progress toward your most important goals, you also spent time with the people who matter most to you, and you did the things that gave you pleasure. There's plenty enough money now, and your circle of influence is growing. You are happy with yourself. You know why your life has improved, why you feel in control. It's because of you. You did that to you. The Work the System process is not magical. It's logical. You can see the cause and effect of your own actions. The Work the System mindset will keep you ever alert to small system improvements that can easily be implemented. It's a new way to live. Illustration: violating a social system. In Italy, Linda and I stayed in a small guest house in the tiny coastal town of Monterosso. One morning, I sat alone at a breakfast table in the corner of the dining room. Other tourists surrounded me, quietly enjoying their cappuccinos and pastries. I worked on my laptop, putting the final touches on this book, my breakfast dishes pushed aside. The manager of the guest house approached me, and in halting English she asked, "Are you finished with your breakfast?" I answered, "Si." Then she said, "Please, to work, take your computer to the lobby downstairs. This is a place of breakfast." That odd phrasing, "this is a place of breakfast," was perfect. In her wonderfully nuanced English, my host got directly to the point, and I instantly understood. There was no quibbling with the logic. I was working in a place of breakfast, and working there was wrong. Italians consider eating a semi-sacred process that should not be sullied with work. My incursion was callous. I was not respecting a system that had been operating for scores of generations. I moved downstairs to the lobby, a place where many things, including a too busy American with his laptop, were allowed. I understand how Europeans sometimes consider Americans crass and overbearing. It was a humbling, outside and slightly elevated reminder that I must respect the systems of others. Are there social situations where it seems things don't click? For instance, have you inadvertently disrupted a conversation, which in itself was a kind of virtual system between two other people? How does it feel to be distracted with extraneous stimuli when you are deeply involved in a phone conversation, book, or some complex detail of your work?